said, give God some praise. Amen. I think we can do better than that. Amen. The God of our salvation, the God that loves us in spite of us, who hurt us, who helped us in our hurts, who loved us, who has done so much. I still feel that was a patty cake. Amen. I need the energy. I need some energy. Amen. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I should be sleeping in my grave. I should have been died a long time ago. I should have lost the fight, but he still stepped in and provided me with his grace and his mercy. God, we thank you upon this day. We give you honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Amen. The younger children, y'all be dismissed for children's church. Sister Destiny gonna take y'all this morning. Amen. So younger children, y'all can follow her on the way out the door. Amen. Ushers, make sure they get there safely. Amen. Our younger ones, our youth, and we're gonna get ready to get into this word. Amen. Y'all excited today? Amen. Amen. I'm grateful as we celebrate our family and fun day. Thank you for all those who are here, who help serve, who help get everything together. Thank you for our visitors. We appreciate you all for coming today. Amen. Y'all ready for a word?
Yes.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. If you don't mind, can you please stand for the reading of God's word? Stand for the readings of God's word. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. As we kick off a brand new series called It's a Layup. Amen. 6:19-20 reads as follows. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and tell him, hey, shoot your shot. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's the wrong neighbor. They ain't get hype with you, man. Tell the other neighbor, tell him, shoot your shot. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Outside of a slam dunk, unless you're extremely tall or can jump out the gym, a layup is the easiest shot in basketball. Yeah. When someone's teaching someone how to play basketball, it's literally the first shot you teach them, right? A layup is a high percentage shot because it's so close to the basket. So it's close to the basket, so it's easier to make a layup. Another reason layups are easy to make because you use something called the backboard most of the time. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with basketball, let me help you. It's the square behind the rim. It has one big square and a small square inside of it. And if you hit the right spot on the backboard, you hit that right spot, that ball's going to hit the backboard and go through the net every time. It's not going to miss it. If you hit the right spot, understand what I'm saying? You hit the right spot every time the ball hits the backboard and it goes through the net. Can I suggest that once you learn to trust God with everything you have, and allow him to be your source, it doesn't matter that there's defense on the court. It doesn't matter that shot blockers are out there. If I trust the ball, trust God to hit the spot, it's going to be a layup in my life.
Yeah.
So let's look at today's text, Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in. The first thing we need to look at today is, what is my treasure? Say, what is my treasure? What's my treasure? What is Jesus talking about? So Webster says this, the definition of treasure is a quantity of precious metals, gems, or other valuable objects is the definition of a treasure. We're going to get to the financial and monetary economic things, the aspect of treasure that's kind of obvious because he says, don't lay it for yourself treasure. We're smart. We know what treasure is. But understand this. We understand that Jesus is not just talking about money and valuables. It's not exclusive, but inclusive. Amen.
Yeah, okay.
He's not the only thing he's talking about is money and value, but he's talking about other things. So what else could be considered treasure, Pastor? The other things I like to take in consideration of being treasure, two things that are priceless, my mind and my heart.
Ooh.
Those are treasures. I remember growing up, and I might be dating myself a little bit, but I remember growing up, maybe somebody can feel me, born in the 80s. It was a commercial where they had an egg, and they said, this is your brain. And then they cracked the egg and put it in a frying pan and begin to fry. And they said, this is your brain on drugs. Amen. Young people don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Sorry. 80s baby, 80s baby. It was another commercial. Will Smith would talk. He'd be on NBC. It was a lot of other people. But I remember Will Smith, he would talk about education and how important it is. And then he ended it with, the more you know, the further you will go. Amen. Y'all remember the commercials? And then my favorite one probably had to be from the United Negro College Fund, where they had little kids and they were trying to get us to go to college. And they said something like this, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Show the value, the treasure of my my mind. And then on the other side, when you see somebody that you know, somebody that's good and kind, what do you say? Man, they got a heart of gold. They just precious. Their heart is full of gold. They got a treasure, right? Even the Bible said that a merry heart do good like a medicine, right? That if my heart is good, it makes me feel good. It gives me joy. It's like medicine. So treasure is not just valuables, but my heart and my mind as well. So look at treasure. This is three things I want you to equate treasure to. Look at this. Treasure equals my time, my talent, and my tithe. Amen. That's what my treasure equals. My time, my talent, and my tithe. Amen. All three of those require a commitment to God from what? My heart and my mind. See, time. How much time am I going to give to God? That requires a commitment with my heart and my mind. The talent, the gift that God gave me, that he put in me. Do am I using them for his glory, for his kingdom, or am I using them for myself? It's going to take commitment. And then my tithe, am I giving God a 10% of my earnings? That means if I made $10, I'm just going to give him one. That's all he requires. I can give him more. If I made $100, I'm just going to give him $10. If I made $1,000, I'm just going to give him $100. He only wants 10th because he's that good. He understands we got life to live. We got things we got to do. He don't want everything. He just want to say, I got a piece of your heart. That's all he wants, our heart and our mind. So look at today's text, y'all. Matthew 6:19a clause. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth.
Come on.
Jesus is challenging us to look inside, do some self-evaluating.
Yeah.
To look at our motives and see what is wrong. Well, and what am I doing? Is the focus and priority of life truly on myself?
Yeah.
See, when life is about you and how much you have and everything you earn and how much I save and how much I stack, it's sad but foolish. In the gospel, watch this gospel, Luke chapter 12, a young man comes to Jesus. He says, teacher, tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus, have my brother give me half our father's money. Now, obviously, this brother has some money, amen, because his father had a nice net worth, because you ain't going to ask for no money if your father ain't got nothing, right, amen? Father must have had some bank, right? So daddy didn't die. He said, hey, tell my brother to share with me. Jesus replied, who made me judge of your affairs? I'm about my father's business. I'm about saving souls. I'm about building a kingdom. I'm about healing the sick. I'm about preaching the gospel to the poor. I'm about helping people right now. And what you want me to do or get involved with is really about your selfishness. It's not to sustain my kingdom. Don't bring me into your affairs. I'm dealing with salvation. You worried about selfish stuff. You want me to be concerned about you receiving goods when I'm trying to bring God to somebody's life? Jesus knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking and the reason behind what we're doing. How do you know, Pastor? I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Luke 12:15 said this. Then he said, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Wow. Jesus had to say, look here, bro, you tripping. Life is not measured by how much you have. I know the world tells you different. See, we live in a world that messes us up. See, but when you know your father and you know his will for your life, it's easy to identify the enemy and analyze his lies. Yeah, I'm going to give you some of the enemy's lies, right? He says that the more you have, that means the more God loves you. Lie detector test determined that was a lie. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He says the more successful you are, the more happy you're going to be. Lie detector test determined that's a lie. It's millionaires that commit suicide. It's people that got, all they want. They have everything you think you want, and they not happy. They have no joy. They have no peace. Life is in disarray. Can't even get along with their kids, spouses, family don't like them. Life is messed up. The more you have, the more respect you have. I'm sorry. You was a snake before you had possessions. Now you just a snake with money. Praise God. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with your character. You was crooked and perverse before you had money. All you now is more crooked and perverse. It don't mean God love you more. God don't care if you a thousandaire, a millionaire, or a billionaire. It doesn't matter to God. God doesn't care about that because life is not measured by all that you have. See, God don't want us. He don't mind us having nice things. Don't say, Pastor, well, I just like nice things. Good again. You like nice things. He don't care about you liking nice things or having them. He's concerned about nice things having you. He's concerned about nice things having a piece of your heart that you caught up with that so much that you ain't got no time for him. He's concerned about you being greedy because greed is rooted in pride. Pride and greed go hand in hand because it's saying, God, I can do it my own way. I don't need you right now. I can do this myself. I got what I need right now. I'll holler at you later, maybe when I need something, but I'm cool in the game. Be careful. But Jesus said this, guard against every kind of greed. There's different kinds of greed. How do different kinds of greed?
Wow.
See, remember what I said? Treasure is what? Time, talent, and tithe. So I can be greedy. Watch this, in my time.
Come on.
I can be greedy in my time. Neglecting and rejecting the God who gave me life.
Come on.
I don't have no time for God. I can be so greedy with my time that I say, God, I'm cool. I'm busy right now. I'll see you when I see your peace. I can be greedy and not giving time to my family. Amen. That I should be there for my family, maybe for my spouse, for my kids. But I'm so concerned maybe with chasing the bag. Or maybe I'm so concerned with chasing this and chasing that that I'm not giving that to my family.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm greedy with God and I'm not giving them time because I spend so much time on Facebook. Praise God. Amen. Maybe I'm greedy with God because I need to give him more time. He's real in my life. I know that, but I'm more concerned about what's going on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to watch a story but not read a Bible. Amen. Praise God, somebody. Maybe I'm greedy with my time. I spend so much time with my friends. I spend so much time sinning. I don't got time for God. We got to be careful. And the truth of the matter is we all pick our priorities.
Yeah, right.
The truth of the matter is when we sit before God, we got no excuse.
Yeah.
The truth, we can't say, God, I ain't have no time. He going to say, well, I can pull up your Facebook log. God, I ain't have no time. I can pull up your Xbox log. God, I ain't have no time. I can specifically show you when you went to this and you went to that. And you had plenty of time for me, but you chose otherwise. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. So how much time can we really have God in our life? Let's break it down. I'm not a math whiz, but I'm just going to give you a couple things. Right. All right. It's 24 hours in a day. Right. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
It's 24 hours in a day. 168 hours in a week. Right.
Yeah.
We can agree to that. Okay. Let's see. Most of us work 8 hours a day. Amen. 8 hours a day. You do overtime. You're working 10, 12. But most people work 8 hours a day. That's eight gone.
Yeah.
Science suggests you should sleep 8 hours a day.
Come on.
That's 16 of gone. Wiped away with work and with sleep. And those two things you need, right? That's gone out the way. So 16 out of 24 gone. That means 112 out of the 168 is consumed by two things, working and sleeping already. So unless you have a job in the ministry, you're not really doing things of God at work, other than maybe praying for your coworkers, and then other than maybe being an example for Christ, right? And other than that, your job is not evolved around things. You're just being a light for Christ, which is a job's kind of right, because we want the world to be saved. We want people to look at us and see our good works so they can glorify our Father in heaven, like Jesus said, right? But you don't have a job in the ministry, so your work is that you're working a secular job for most parts. So if I'm single, I got a little bit more time with God. Because I can do what I want to do if I'm single. Praise God, my single folks. Amen. Don't rush. I ain't preaching about marriage, but don't rush out your season of singleness. See, that's the time to get close with God. Amen. That's the time to know God's will for your life. That's the time to love on him for real. That's the time to get intimate with God. So when God sends the right person, first of all, you know if they right or wrong. Amen. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been searching to God. You ain't the right person. Amen. No. So well, I don't care who you are. You ain't the right person for me. So don't miss that. But check this out. Once you have kids, you lose more time.
Yeah, come on.
And you have a spouse, you got to attend to the affairs of your spouse, you lose more time.
Yeah.
So how much time do we really got to give God is my question. That's why he said on the Sabbath day, give me a day.
Yeah.
I want one day after the week. Let today be that day, amen. Give me that whole day, which means you ain't got to read your Bible all day, but be worshiping me on that day. Be thinking about me that day. Get closer to me that day. Give me a whole
day.
I just want one day after the week. And I come to find out, Lady Thomas, most of them struggle giving them 2 hours on a Sunday. Amen. I come in for y'all. Y'all missed that shot. Amen. That he won a whole day, but most of us struggle with giving God just 2 hours on a Sunday. How much time can he really get?
That's real.
So out the week, I must be intentional with my time with God to give him time. I got to schedule some time to spend with God. Amen. I'm already down to 56 hours for the week. And I got a family. I got a wife. I got kids. I got activities. I got some stuff I just like to do. I just like to chill. I might want to watch a movie every now and then. I already got stuff I got to do in my own personal time. I got to schedule time with God. But if you know our God, watch this. He don't need 8 hours to do something amazing. Amen. He ain't down by time, amen. He's not kept by time. If you know why God, watch this. I dare you this week, start giving him 15 minutes a day. Praise God, amen. I dare this week, start giving him just 15 minutes a day and see what he do in your life. God don't need a lot of time. He need a faithful heart. God don't need a lot of time. He just need you committed. Give him 15 minutes every day and watch what God begins to do in your life.
Watch it.
See, the next thing we got to be careful of laying up for ourselves is our talents. Ooh, I'm trying to encourage everyone in here. Everybody got at least one talent. I don't care what somebody told you and somebody lied to you, said you ain't good for nothing. Says out, everybody got at least one talent that God gave them. Everybody. So it's our job to tap into that talent. to get good at it. See, when we get good at our talent, watch this. We found we have potential, and potential sometimes leads to profit. So my talent might be profitable for me, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because the Bible says this, a man's gift will make room for him. There's nothing wrong with perfecting your gift. There's nothing wrong with learning your craft. There's nothing wrong with getting better and better at what you're doing, amen. He says it will open up doors for you. In fact, it will set you before kings, amen. Your gifts and your talent will put you in certain places. You're supposed to work on that because God gave it to you. He entrusted it in you, whatever it is, if it's cooking, if it's singing, if it's preaching, if it's teaching, if it's whatever it may be, I don't know, but whatever it is, you got it. And God gave it to you. But it's my responsibility still to find out, how can I serve others with my gift?
Come on.
Ooh, okay, look at this, James 1 and 17. Every good, present, and every perfect gift comes from above. From the Father who made the sun, moon, and stars. The Father doesn't change like shifting shadows, produced it by the sun and moon. Okay. Every good present. Y'all know what a present is, right? A gift. Praise God. Amen. Every good present gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father above me. Everything that we have, God gave us. Everything good in us, everything that clicks and it makes us come alive, God gave that to us.
Come on.
See, the devil is not responsible for giving our gifts. He's responsible for corrupting them.
Come on.
He's not responsible for giving your gift, but he is responsible for corrupting your gift. See, the Father doesn't change. Look at this, Romans 11:29. God never changes his mind when he gives gifts or when he calls someone. God ain't changing his mind. He's not a man that he should lie. I put that gift in you. In fact, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. Everything you got, I already put it in there. I equipped you with greatness already, my God. I gave you something to tap into that's going to be a blessing on earth. I gave you something to tap into that's going to be a blessing to your family. I gave you this since the day I knew you. I'm not taking it back. So then it's up to us to determine, am I going to use God's gift for my glory or myself? Am I going to use God's gift for his glory or let the devil use me and abuse me? Come on, y'all. Come on. Okay. I'll give you an example. I love Christian rap. Amen. I love Christian rap. I do. Amen. You need some new music to listen to, holler at me. I get your playlist right. Amen. It's saved and slapping. Praise God. Amen. It's saved and slapping. I'm telling you. It got beats. It got tight lyrics. You need some new music, come holler at me. I got you. I promise I do. I love rap. Right? I'm a lyric guy. I love guys who can spit. I love lyrics. And this new stuff, praise God, amen. Not only is the content bad, but majority of them can't even rap. Come on, let's be honest, amen. Come on. Your kid put on the music in the car, you're like, oh my God, what are you listening to? What is this, amen? But some of them can't even rap. But they got some kind of talent. All right, they're able to sell records. So I don't know if it's being an entertainer. I don't know if they're entertaining. I don't know if they're a good actor. But they're selling records. They're doing something that God is getting them right. And I was looking at the, reading the clips on the internet, and 21 Savage, y'all know who he is? Probably nobody else knows who he is, but little young people, y'all know 21 Savage is, amen. I know my young kids do. And he did an interview, and it's a trip. 21 Savage, he got a knife in the middle of his forehead. God, that's a trip. Tattoo knife in the middle of his forehead. Praise the prayer. I'm praying for him. Look at this. He says this. I'm depressed about all the killing in Atlanta right now. He's from Atlanta. So I'm depressed about it. It's just sad. Everybody killing everybody. Babies is killing babies. And then the internet ain't gonna let you go too far. They called him a hypocrite. They said, your music is all about killing. All you talk about is killing, selling drugs, and all that. You a hypocrite. Don't talk about the violence when you promote the violence. He said, I don't promote it. I'm just talking about what I lived at. I'm just talking about how I grew up. I'm not promoting a violent thing. He said this, watch this. It trips me out. He says this, okay, what do y'all want me to do? If I rapped about Jesus Christ, I would have zero fans.
Wow.
I determine that's a lie.
Come on.
Because if God puts you in a gift for you, God gonna provide for you, amen. That if God gave you something, he gonna take care of you. But it ain't about that. Really about rapping about Jesus Christ ain't the problem. He said, how can I feed my family? Woo! Y'all missing the treasure thing. Y'all missing it. Y'all need the connection. See, this isn't just for him. It's for the Jay-Z's, the Lil Wayne's, 21's, DJ Khaled's, all them proclaiming God did. I got a new flash. God didn't inspire you to push crack to us through your music. God didn't inspire you to promote killing through your music. Your appetite for cash controls what you rap to us.
Yeah.
Blind leading the blind. Talked about that last time. So we got people who really want to do better, but they want their money. And if my money can be won by promoting a certain lifestyle, I'm going to stick with that because that's what my treasure is. I know kids are going to want to follow me. I know kids are going to look up to me. I know kids are going to try to live how I live, but I want my cash. Be careful what your treasure is. This is why she says, don't store for yourself treasures on earth. Look at that, man. Matthew 6:19. Stop storing up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Storing up on earth, it won't last.
Yeah.
Jesus said, well, moth and rust were destroyed. Moths feed on exclusively clothes. Amen. Anybody had any clothes? Anybody some moths? Amen. That's old school. Come on, old school. Come on, old school. They used to get mothballs, right? Because they have stuff in their closet they probably ain't worn in 20 years, but they won't let it go. They feel they still got it. Still going to look good on me. I ain't letting this go. And so I got to get some, take the good with throw away. Somebody can put some use to that. Amen. But they put mothballs. It's old school. It's grandma. Y'all, you got fly grandmas now, so y'all grandmas ain't going to have no mothballs. Y'all your generation got fly grandmas. Y'all ain't about to have no mothballs. But our grandmas had mothballs, right? That's what they use, right? Our grandma, we had big mama grandma on them. Y'all ain't got that. Y'all got gam gam and all that good stuff. Y'all got a new generation. But mothballs eat animal fibers. They eat wool, fur, silk, feathers, and leather. Woo! Rush tarnishes. It tarnishes gold, silver, and metals. Then if I got too much of it, it gets to the point that thieves may break in and want to steal it from me. It is thieves out there, watch this, plotting to steal from you. But not just your treasure in that sense. It's thieves trying to steal your time with God. Ooh, have you identified the thieves in your life?
Yeah.
Have you identified people that can honestly pull you away from God? Who constantly pull you away from praying? Who pull you away from trying to live right? Have you identified the thieves in your life? Thieves that are trying to steal my talent? When God has something for me to do and the world tries to make me do it for them? Thieves don't want to steal my tithe that I want to give God this, but thieves try to come in and steal and say, nah, you should spend it on this. Be careful. God loves us so much. Do you know you can be a billionaire on earth and poverty stricken in heaven?
Yeah.
I mean, that hit you Tuesday. You can be a billionaire on earth, but in poverty according to heaven.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:20, y'all, look at this. Instead, store up treasures for yourself in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. My God, my God. So Jesus says, look here, I got to teach y'all some balance.
Yeah.
It's time to balance out your scales because y'all ain't living right.
Yeah.
Y'all not weighing out the balance right. He's saying, look here, you can do the earth thing, but do the heaven thing.
Yeah.
Because even if you live to be 125 and got great health and eventually die at 125, it's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity.
Yeah.
Woo, a drop in the bucket. Come on, try to fill up a mop bucket with drops. How long that gonna take? Nobody wanna know. It's gonna take forever. It's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity.
Wow.
So Pastor, how do I store up myself treasures in heaven? Thank you for asking again. Because this teaching is not exclusive to finances. Look at this, y'all. Look at this. Storing up treasure, you might wanna write this down, take a picture. Storing up treasure in heaven is not limited to tithing. Come on, y'all gotta learn. We gotta teach the word of God right. It's not limited to that, but it's accomplished by all acts of obedience to God.
Yeah,
I store up treasure by acts of obedience to God, doing what God has called me to do. There's a sense, watch this, that storing up treasure in heaven is like God's work, is like investing in heaven. I don't know anybody doing any investing. Maybe you bought some stocks or something. But investing can be lucrative if it's done right, right? If you put your money in the right stuff, maybe it's in a stock. Maybe it's in a startup business. Maybe it's in a house where someone's going to tear down a house and flip it and get your money back. But investing can be lucrative if it's done right, right?
Yeah.
See, but the world will use you and abuse you. Last year, I don't know about you. Y'all remember this, but Bitcoin was everything last year, wasn't it? Amen. You better get you some crypto. Dogecoin. You got people on my social media. They became experts in the field. Quickly, you ain't doing this, what you need to put your money at. And I looked it up, Bitcoin was worth $69,000 last November. It's only worth $20,000 this September. That's a $49,000 drop in less than a year. But everybody told us that's where we better put our money at. Be careful who you listen to. See, we gotta be careful not to trust lies. See, the key to storing up treasure in heaven is that our intention should be to seek fulfillment of God's purposes in all that we do. Not just with our money, but with our time and our talent as well. See, Jesus gives us a glimpse into what this looks like, right? Because if we're able to store up, that means what? Heaven must have a storehouse.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know what a storehouse is. Let me give you a definition. It is a building for storing goods and an abundant supply or source of goods. Amen, amen. Okay. A building that has an abundance of goods in it. Amen. Okay. So I'm trying to get a storehouse. So every time I pray, I'm putting something in my storehouse.
Yes.
Every time I love my wife like Christ, I'm putting something in the storehouse.
Come on.
Every time I raise my children in admonition of the Lord, I'm putting something in my storehouse. Every time I pray for my enemies and love them and forgive them, I'm putting something in my storehouse. Every time I use my gift, I'm investing God's kingdom, I'm putting something in my storehouse. Anytime I lead someone to repent, turn from their sins and come to Christ, I'm putting something in my storehouse. Anytime I give my tithe, my offering to God, I'm putting something in my storehouse. If I give something to the poor, I'm blessing God. I'm putting something in my storehouse. If I love my neighbor as myself, I'm putting something in my storehouse. What's your storehouse look like? She says the storehouse is a building with an abundant supply of source. That means when I'm feeling empty, I can make a withdrawal from it. When my storehouse is full, that means I can make a withdrawal. When the earthly storehouse is empty, I can't take nothing. Amen. When your bank account don't read nothing, try to withdraw something. Praise God. Amen. When the earthly storehouse ain't got nothing and I try to withdraw, I ain't getting nothing. Amen. But as long as I keep heaven full, my God, it don't matter what I got on earth. It don't matter what earth says I have. It don't matter what earth looks like. As long as I keep heaven full, I can always withdraw something from my Father. So Jesus says, keep that up, y'all. Last point, watch as I get done in this. Jesus is showing us the promise and security of storing up things in heaven. Why should we do it? Because it's a layup. It's an easy shot. Why should I store up stuff with God? Because it's an easy shot. He just told me what it's going to do, that if I got stuff in heaven, I'm going to be blessed beyond this lifetime. But truth be told, everybody don't want to take the easy shot. See, it's only going to make sense to lay up to store up for my treasure in heaven if my mind and heart are in the right place. Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. My God. Jesus trying to get him to gain y'all a Sermon on the Mount. One of the greatest sermon ever preached, because Jesus is teaching from his word. He said, look, I told y'all treasure can be attributed to our mind and our hearts, not just money. See, Jesus is making it clear that us having the wrong treasure leads to our heart being in the wrong place. What we treasure the most ultimately ends up controlling us whether we admit it or not. Come on. What we treasure the most, if we treasure that person the most, they're going to get majority of our time, majority of our money, majority of our headaches. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If I treasure that job the most, amen, that means, guess what? My wife going to get neglected. Kids going to get neglected. Things are going to get set to the side if I treasure that the most. Amen. Yeah. But the thing I love about God is if I love God right and treasure him the most, he's going to let me know that loving me is loving your family. Loving me is loving your neighbor. Loving me is loving people around you. Loving me is being around me all the time. And I give you the strength and the power to do that. There's no limit to my love. And it's not unhealthy if you love me correctly.
Good.
See, if possessions and all that is important to us, y'all, there's no limit to what we would do to obtain it.
Yeah.
There's no limit on what we would do to attempt to store it. Amen. Look at this, y'all. 1 Timothy 6:10. Certainly, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people who have set their hearts on getting rich have wandered away from the Christian faith and have caused themselves a lot of grief. I like another verse that says, has pierced themselves with many sorrows. And what we got to learn is this: the love of money. He didn't say you can't have it.
Yeah.
He didn't say you couldn't like it.
Yeah.
He said the love of it.
Yeah.
See, once I love it, there's no limit what I would do to get it.
Yeah. That's it.
Y'all missing that? Amen.
Come on.
See, once I put money on this pedestal and everything else under it, because I treasure it, guess what? I lie to get it. I cheat you to get it. Amen. Scammers. I strip to get it and show my body. Amen. I kill you if I have to because I got to have it. I prostitute my body, my gift. I do all kind of things. There's no limit to what I won't do. You look at people and they get so far away. You're like, how did you get there? Because the love of money. It pierces you with many sorrows. This is why Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. You can't love God and money. Because it does something to us. If we become too reliant on these earthly goods, then we must reestablish control and get rid of these items. See, Jesus is calling for all of us to make a decision, y'all.
Come on.
He's saying this, look here. I'll allow you to live life in contentment. But whatever we have is because this. Eternal values over temporary earthly treasure. I want to give you things that's going to last beyond your lifetime. I want to give you something that's going to keep you and prosper you beyond what you see on this earth. But you got to make a decision. See, taking this type of lifestyle, this type of faith, I got to put Jesus Christ in his proper place. Amen.
Come on.
That God loves us and he cares that much. So I can either make a layup, that's easy, or take a long shot and struggle. But the choice is yours. So God has called for us to make a decision today. Amen. And I'm done when I say this. Luke 12, read it when you get home. 16 to 21, read it when you get home. Jesus talked to the young man about being greedy, about wanting what he wanted from his father. Jesus gives him an illustration. He says, look here, I need y'all to understand this. There was a rich young man who stacked up his money, had it all. He said, look at all this stuff I got. Look at all this stuff I built. What am I going to do with my money? I didn't make it. My mom made it. Top of the world. I got it going on. He says, I'm just going to build bigger barns and store up more of myself. So he builds bigger barns, build bigger barns, begin to store up stuff, begins to stack it all up. He says, what am I doing now? I got all my money. I got all my annuities. I got all my insurance right. I got my bank right. Everybody set. What am I going to do now?
Come on.
I'm going to sit and drink and be merry.
Come on.
What else is there to do? I just stacked it up. I'm balling. What else is there to do? Jesus said this, you fool, tonight God requires your soul. And the man died, not having his life right with God.
Yeah.
And as more as I'm getting comfortable, y'all know me and I'm done. I don't never use salvation as a scare tactic, because if I got a scare to get saved, it ain't going to stick.
Come on.
But you got to understand this, we all going to leave here.
Yes.
We don't get to pick it, we don't get to choose it, we have no idea how it's going to happen, no idea. But we know it's going to happen. And we can be so comfortable with life that we don't understand that God's going to require our soul. He said, this is how when a rich person has material riches, but is not rich in their relationship with God. Can you give God praise in this place? Amen. I come to challenge you today. Amen. Give God some glory. Challenge you today to get rich in God. I don't know who you are, what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. I might not even never met you before, but I do know this God loves you and he cares.
Right.
And I do know God requires for you to get rich in God. So if you feel today is your day, you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you've never been saved and you need to give your life to Christ. It's time to get rich in God.
Yes.
And if you never met him before, I don't know. Maybe if you're saved, but you feel off the bandwagon. You say, you know what? I've been tripping. Pandemic messed me up. I've been slipping and sliding. I ain't been living how I'm supposed to be living. I've been making some mistakes. It's time for me to get back right with God. If that is you, let today be your day.
Yeah.
We're praying for you and trusting God for you. Almighty God, we serve. I believe God can change anybody. I believe God can save anybody. I believe God can heal anybody. Why? Because he did it for me. Amen.
Yes.
But if you need Jesus,
Thank you, God.
Let today be your day. If you need Christ, if you need a change in your life, Jesus said, I can do it for you, but you got to lay up your treasure in me.
Yes.
You got to lay up. You got to give me your heart and your mind.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
We'll work everything else out, but start with giving me your heart and your mind. Give me your heart and your mind and watch what I do with it.
Yeah, watch
how I change your time and you want to spend more time with me.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch how I do that. Watch how you go from never praying a whole year to you can't go a day without praying. Watch how you go from that, amen. That before you never talked to me. Now we have long conversations. You love communicating with me, and I've really been waiting on this your whole life. I've been loving you from a distance, been sending you signs, and I really just want this conversation piece with you because you're my child and I love you. You give him your heart and your mind. Watch how he holds your talent. How he takes this talent that you thought was nothing, that couldn't be used, and God takes it and makes it into something and molds you into what he has for you and brings you into doing something special for him. Watch how he does it. Watch how he takes your treasure. And you say, you know what, God, I'm giving you what I got. And somehow, some way, you keep opening up doors for me. I'm sharing my wealth with you, and somehow, some way, you keep on blessing me back. And I don't even understand it, but your word says prove me wrong and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive.
Thank you, Lord.
But it starts with giving God your heart and your mind.
Thank you,
does anybody here today want to give God their heart and their mind? Amen.
Thank you, God.
I'm going to pray. And we trust God, amen. Y'all know me. Like I said, I don't stretch this out. We're not going to sit here another 30 minutes. I'm not going to preach again. The altar call, amen. Praise God. Don't do that, amen. But I want you to understand the importance it is in making a decision for Christ and giving him your life.
Yes, yes.
And if I could speak even to the young people, give God your life when you're young.
Yeah.
Give God. God can do so much more in your youth.
Yes, he will.
God calls the old because they got wisdom, but he calls the young because they're strong.
Yes, that's good.
Give God your life in your youth. I met Christ at 23. I wish I would have loved him like I do now when I was 13, 14, 15, and 16. Because the world ain't got nothing to offer.
That's good.
It has nothing to offer but heartache, pain, lust, greed, pride. And the older I grew up with those things, sometimes it's the harder it is to get rid of when I get older. Because I gave them place in my heart. And now I got to let God do surgery on me and clean that stuff out and pull that stuff out and work it out and get it out and cut it and do heart surgery on me constantly. Why? Because when I was young, I created habits. When I was young, I gave myself the things that wasn't pleasing to God. And now I struggle with them. But I thank God that he's a deliverer, amen. Praise God, somebody. I know I'm the only one, somebody talk to me. I know he's a deliverer. I know somebody older encouraging young people. He's a healer, he's a helper. And he'll change your life. So understand this. Give God all you got today, amen. Is anybody, before we get out of here, amen, that want to be saved, need to get their life to Christ, maybe you want to be baptized, need special prayer, whatever you may need, allow us to serve you. But I want you to understand how good God is. He loves you.
Yes, he does.
All he needs is a willing heart and a willing mind. He'll change your life. Amen. Does anybody else say it? Anybody? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, man. Well, I'm going to pray for y'all. Amen. All right. I'm going to pray for everybody here because I believe God has more for you. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you, God, for those in the place and those online, Father God. I pray today, Father God, today people's hearts are more connected to you, Father God. I pray, oh God, that we learn to trust you as our source, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we begin to give you our all, Father God, as we walk through this life, as we begin to trust you, oh God, with all that we have, oh God. That's everything, oh God, our treasure, our time, our talent, and our time. Begin to trust you with our heart and our mind. Begin to trust you with the very being of our soul. I pray, oh God, somebody's life is changed today, Father God. I pray somebody talks to you. They spend that 15 minutes that we talked about earlier, oh God. They say, this week, every day, I'm spending some time with God. With this, I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get closer to God, because God has so much in store for me that my right now is not my end. That I have a future. God gives me a future and a hope and an expected end. That God has big plans for me because I serve a big God. He got big plans for me, amen. He got a big mission on my life. He got big things for me to do. He has big people for me to witness to. He has all these things for me to do. My life will be big because my God is big. But I ain't worried about big in the world sense. It's big in that he's pleased with me when I'm done. It's big that he's happy with me, that when he looks at me and sees his son or his daughter, he says, that makes me proud. They allow me to have control of their life. And in return, I'm going to make sure that their storehouse in heaven is full. We thank you for it being done so now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 Let's pray, our God, amen. We're going to give him some praise, amen, if you believe it. That God can, he will. And he's able, amen.
Yes,
glory
yes,
to God, amen. We thank you all for being with us today, amen. Thank you for your crowd, for our visits. We appreciate you all for being here today, amen. Thank y'all so much. Thank our staff, amen. Everybody, give them a round of applause. Everybody that's here today has helped got things together. So we can have an amazing day today for our family fun today. Please stay, get something to eat, man. Take some school supplies for the kids. Have some treats as well, man. We want to have a good time. If you need a car seat, we can help you out with that as well. We have a lot of stuff in store for you, amen. So we thank God for that. You want to come up? Oh, right, amen. Look at me, I didn't preach. I forgot we got to do offering. Praise God, amen. Look at that. Store up yourself. Look at I'm in the Word. Amen. Praise God. Wife looked at me like, what are you doing, Pastor? Thank you. All right, now we do our tithes and our offering, amen. If you have need an envelope, please raise your hand. Our usher will get you one. If you want to give electronically, it's on the screen, on the screens. You can give to our Cash App, or you can also do our text to give number as well. Amen.
Amen.